75 years ago, John Dillinger mesmerized the country when he robbed scores of banks across the Midwest, escaped from jail twice, and murdered a number of people. Dillinger is the subject of Public Enemies, a new film directed by Michael Mann and starring Johnny Depp and Christian Bale. And the film's score was written by Elliot Goldenthal, who'd already won an Academy Award in 2002 for Frida. Public Enemies opened a couple of weeks ago, but Elliot Goldenthal joins me now, and I'm pleased to welcome you back to our show.
Thank you, Leonard.
You once said that you're attracted to the Chronicle of the Outsider. Do you see John Dillinger as an outsider?
Well, for a while he was an outsider. Then he quickly became an icon. What attracts me to him is the stark contrast between coming from Dust Bowl America and basically being dressed in prison fatigues and coming from, a little better than Midwestern Auschwitz kind of an environment to immediately being a fashion pin. And visiting Chicago, which is basically a new shining city with arguably some of the best architecture, Arthur Sullivan, et cetera, and his detail of millinery and choice of tie tacks and shoes and everything in practically in one day, and being a rock star Robin Hood type of figure then almost immediately, and also the fact that he was an anachronistic figure, that he was sort of the last of the cowboy type.
Jesse James, modernized Jesse James.
Exactly.
As opposed to Al Capone, who represented a different kind of criminality.
As opposed to syndicate type of guys, which relied on mechanization and getting monies from the races. The numbers, for example, they can make more money in working the numbers every day than Dillinger, 2 years' work. So he was faced with a whole different world that type of criminal was used to.
Now, when you're thinking about writing a score, do you do all that kind of research and think about the life of this person, or are you responding more to the images on the screen?
Well, in the file analysis, you have to respond to everything on the screen. But to have that sort of analogy or format of thinking, Dust Bowl versus Gleaming City, and everything that urbane type of environment that took in sophisticated symphony orchestras as well as a kind of Roy Acuff kind of Dust Bowl Americana.
Well, it's a transitional time. We've gone from the Roaring Twenties into the Depression, but a lot of that Roaring Twenties stuff lingers, at least for part of society. And when I asked you whether you rely on the images, are you already writing themes before the film is cut, or do you wait until something like a working cut is put together before you really start thinking seriously about it?
Well, with an exception of Bye Bye Blackbird, Deanna Crawl cut, had to arrange that before the movie because she had to sing it on camera, so that it was a pre-record. Mm-hmm. My other considerations were just working on experiments that I can show Michael Mann to institute ideas that I had. But everything came together rather fast. He's he's a workaholic. So practically after the day after he rapped in Chicago, there was plenty of material to, you know, the editorial staff prepared a good deal of stuff for me to crack.
Well, films these days are pretty much being edited at the same time as they're being shot, so you could probably get a real good sense, get a rough cut. And you'd worked with Michael Mann before on Heat, didn't you?
On Heat 13 years ago, prior to this.
But that's a big gap. Has he changed a lot? And does he have input? Does he say to you, Elliot, I really want something slow, and I want a little Berlioz here, or I want a little Beethoven here?
Yeah, from time to time, he may say something like that. I think he wants things to be surprising. And I think at one point he mentioned he wanted a deranged Guy Lombardo.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point he mentioned Mahler. Usually you have to, present him with stuff and be prepared in changing every day, because that's the way he works. You never walk through the same river twice with Michael Mann.
Well, you also come up with certain themes that you reprise through the film. They are meant to evoke certain kinds of repeated emotions?
Yeah. The themes that survived were themes that evoked a dolefulness as well as a sense of iconhood.
Well, there's one theme that reminded me very much of a jazz classic. I'd like to play it for you.
Okay.
Two versions. And then we sped up something that you did three times to get at least a little closer to that tempo. And that theme runs through the film a lot. What was it meant to evoke for you?
Well, in the scene that I was doing was very Americana. He was in a car, and you see the trees and rustling by, and it was a safe house that it was going to.
Mm-hmm.
Any reference to John Coltrane there was
totally
unconscious. The application was in another stylistic arena. Maybe. Well, a series of four or five notes, any listener that finds enjoyment with that, I'm with them.
Well, there is a fair amount of jazz, because there's Billie Holiday throughout the score. Do you choose when he turns on the radio and we hear Billie Holiday? Is that something that you chose as part of the score?
I think that was something that Michael and I were completely in agreement with. I can't imagine any more perfect singer to represent American music than Billie Holiday.
You know, tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of her. Oh, Friday is the 50th anniversary of her death. I've been thinking a lot about Billie Holiday recently, and she really does set the mood here.
And you know,
also have Blind Willie Johnson,
yes,
at one point.
And I think Billie's first recording was in 1931 with Benny Goodman, you know.
And Dillinger's, 33 or so when he really bursts on the scene?
Yes.
Now, what's the difference between scoring a movie from composing a piece that's written to be a standalone?
I don't understand the question.
Well, if you I mean, you've written symphonic pieces. You've written things that have not meant to serve a movie or be background music of some sort or another. In the end, is composing composing?
Yeah, in the end, in collaboration forms in the cinema, you have to think about you're just one component, or sometimes you're the stand in front component. But the situation dictates it. It's no one. You don't come in there to dominate a movie. You come in to make the best movie. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you have to step forward. Sometimes you have to support everything else, that including acting, the pace, the cadence, the lighting, the story, the situation, the situations between characters. There's no one thing. Like, for example, light and motifs. People talk about that a lot, but it's not really one of the most important things. It's just so many things to adjust to in cinema.
My guest is Elliot Goldenthal, who wrote the music for Public Enemies, now in theaters all around the country, the hit film starring Johnny Depp. Composers for film almost seem to be telling us what we should be feeling at any given moment. You don't seem to do that. You seem to be much more of the set some kind of a mood and then let the actors tell us what we should be thinking.
Well,
that must be a conscious decision on your part.
I really trust the actors, and I'm there to support the performance. I'm there to support what's behind the eyes of an actor, to pin spot and elucidate the decision making process that turns the key to the next scene or the next event.
So when you're doing Frida, you're thinking very differently than when you're doing something like this, or when you're doing a video game like Final Fantasy. Again, you're you're thinking totally differently. I mean, in the end, does it all wind up Elliot Goldenthal?
Yeah, it all winds up me, but the different thinking process and different muscles you're using. Writing for cinema has similarities because you're dealing with fixed time.
Mm-hmm.
When you're working on a symphonic work or operatic work, you don't have that problem. You know, you can write an adagio for 45 minutes. You know, in film, you have to be eloquent or be invisible for 11.124 seconds. And
they actually give it to you that way? I mean, they say you have to write a piece of music that goes exactly so many seconds?
And it has to be, yes, absolutely. Film travels of, 24 frames per second. And things don't always line up on the round numbers. So you have to be, it's you have to create time as being malleable, not as fixed.
Do you try to meet the actors, get a sense of what music might be appropriate for
them? No, because the actors do that job, and it comes across rather clear on the final.
Now, you've been in a relationship with Julie Taymor, who is a director, among
yes.
other things, and directed some films. Done an awful lot of theater. Does music play a role in your relationship?
Oh, yes. Every day we're working on something new. Working on The Tempest right now, and that's a very, very difficult challenge because the music is built into Shakespeare. The meter, In this particular work, Shakespeare wrote fabulous lyrics for some composer in the future, hopefully many times, over and over, to write his or her take on that the scene. And hence there were many pre-records in this particular film that I had to compose. And now the hard, double hard work is writing a full score, including the songs to The Tempest.
Well, Twelfth Night now is being performed, or was it? Is it just over at the Delacorte? And they came up with a lot of songs and pretty much a score as well. I guess Shakespeare does lend himself to that more than many playwrights, because they may have been singing some of those things in his performances.
Absolutely.
Now, you also did, with Julie Taymor, you did Frida, which you got an Oscar for.
Yes, that was a special treat because it allowed me to delve into Mexican regional styles of music. And the reason I say regional is you can't say Mexican music because it's so varied, and as well as in the classical world as well, where Diego and Frida came from, the sophistication of Mexico City as opposed to the multifarious musical styles that filtered in.
Right. Well, they weren't doing the sort of thing that you see in northern Mexico when they were hanging out with Leon Trotsky and some of the other important political figures of the time, and most of the great artists, and working in Rockefeller Center, and that must have been a lot of fun.
Oh, it must have been a great time.
I meant a lot of fun writing the music for that, thinking about that. With Dillinger, you have a very concentrated period. With Frida, you had a story that covered a couple of countries.
Frida was a film for a film composer, as it was like Teflon. It resisted most types of music. When I wrote for a solo guitar, a guitar that had an instrument that you can actually take into bed with you, since Frida spent so much time in bed.
We have to leave it there, unfortunately.
Yes.
Elliot, thank you so much for being with us. Elliot Goldenthal, who wrote the music for Public Enemies, now in theaters all over.